It is good. Worshiping with the Hermonites. So it's good to be home. This morning, if you will, meet me in Matthew chapter 14. We'll be looking at verses 22 through 33 this morning, discussing what it means to place our eyes on Jesus. While you're turning there, I would just like to say a big thank you. It is a wonderful opportunity to be hosted this weekend. Last night was a wonderful event, so thank you for everyone who came out. I know several people worked very, very hard. I know John Barker. I tell you, John Barker is Johnny on the spot. I tell you, I've gotten so many emails from him, so many helpful emails. So, John, thank you for last night. I believe God was glorified and fellowship was built. So thank you for that. This morning, before I pray, I want y'all to help me with something. Every Sunday at Warren Plains Baptist, where we pastor, Taylor and I, I get them to help me preach a little bit because I want them to realize I need all the help that I can get. Amen. Amen. So, but before I pray, I'll say, Jesus is alive, and they'll say back to me, alive forever. Amen. And you say, well, Seth, why do you do that? Y'all do this little chant thing. Why do y'all do that? I believe that it's important as we open God's Word and as we gather together as saints to lift our hands, lift our voices to worship, that we always remember that our God is alive. Our God is speaking and working and seeking to engage us. Our Jesus that we worship is not in a tomb. You can't go and find his grave, but this morning we are going to encounter the living, working, saving, sanctifying God. Amen? So Jesus is alive, alive forever. Amen. Y'all think y'all can help me with that this morning? Okay. Jesus is alive, alive forever. Amen. Man, it took them like 6 months to get that. There's still people saying forever, alive, amen, or something. So let's pray. Father God, we love you, and you are alive. Father God, I pray that this morning our worship has been glorifying to you. Lord, this morning that you would empty us of us and that you would fill us up with you. That this morning we will be able to leave here and we'll say, man, from the beginning prayers to the singing to the preaching to the kneeling, Lord, it was all about Jesus. As the choir just sang, glory to his name. Why grace, grace. Lord, as I was reading this morning in Psalm 115, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory for your unfailing love and faithfulness. And so, Father, Lord, I pray that in the pulpit today, it won't be about a good sermon. Lord, that it won't be about passion. That it won't be about eloquency. That it'll be about Jesus. That your name would be high and lifted up. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. The context of our passage this morning, the disciples are in a boat. Y'all probably heard this passage before, read it, or heard it preached. The disciples are in a boat, and Jesus meets them on the water. But I think it's important to know before all this takes place is the feeding of the 5,000. The feeding of the 5,000. Jesus had just fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, with a little boy's lunchbox. Their faith was just bolstered, just busting at the seams, seeing this happen. I mean, they had leftovers. That's when you know it was good. You got leftovers. You can eat the next day. They had leftovers. They're pumped. Then they get in a boat. They head across the water. They have a crisis of faith. But the good news in this text is they are about to be reminded of him who they follow. Amen. And so that's my prayer for us this morning, that we will be reminded of who we follow and we will place our eyes on him. If you will, look with me, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately after this, Jesus insisted that the disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once and said, "Do not be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. And I love what Jesus says in verse 29. I believe these are Jesus' words to us this morning at Herman Baptist Church. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and waves, he was terrified, and he began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. We see here a crisis of faith, but a reminder of who we follow. I've heard this text preached a lot of times in a lot of ways, and you probably have too. But this morning, I would submit to you that this text isn't about storms. I've heard a lot of preachers get up, and I've read a lot of devotions talk about, man, there are storms in life, and there are storms in life, amen? That things don't always go according to our plan. But I don't think that's the central part of this text. That's not the central point of this text this morning. And we hear a lot about Peter, man, the ferocious faith of Peter. He was so ferocious that he denied Jesus three times. But this text isn't about Peter. The Bible's not about Peter. What is this text about? This text is about the accessible authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. This text is about Jesus. The whole Bible from cover to cover is about Jesus. When we sing in church, it is to be about Jesus. When we preach from the pulpit, it's supposed to be about Jesus. When we work on cars, if we're a mechanic, it's to be about Jesus. Everything is pointing to Jesus. It's no different here in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. This is about the accessible authority of Jesus. Well, what do I mean by the accessible authority of Jesus? The authority part is the easy part. That's the part that we understand. Jesus is the King of all glory. The King is coming. The King is coming. He's coming for you and me. He is authority. He is the truest form of authority. Colossians and John 1 talk about how through him all things were made. And he is still today reigning over all things that were made through him. Amen? This is about the authority of Jesus, the one who rules over and reigns over life and death, health and sickness, ruling and reigning. But that accessible part, what does that mean? What does that mean? That means the authoritative voice of Jesus doesn't only say, come and bow before my feet. This is good news. This is the gospel this morning, church. The authoritative voice of Jesus doesn't just say, come wave me with palm branches. But the authoritative voice of Jesus says this morning, come. Don't only bow to my authority, but experience my authority. Walk with me. Talk with me. Donnie Gamble would say, come and sup with me. The accessible authority of Jesus. He does rule and reign. But I'm so glad that we have a God who walks and talks. Amen? This morning, I want to ask three questions. These three questions, I hope, will help us keep our eyes on Jesus and experience him anew today. If we want to experience this authority of Jesus, if we want to walk with him in power, spirit, and truth, if we want to experience him anew today, then we need to place our eyes on him. Again, the first one of these questions, you can see it on the screen, is this morning, do you want to be up close and personal with Jesus? If you want to be up close and personal with Jesus this morning, just say amen. I think we all do. I think we all want to walk hand in hand with God. That's why religion spreads across the whole globe, because people want to know God, where they came from. I think everybody in here, if we took a survey, yeah, I want to be up and close and personal with Jesus. Then this morning, when we turn our eyes back to him who we want to be so close with. Second question is, do you want to be right where God wants you to be? If you do this morning, say amen. I'm going to give you a voice workout this morning, if that's all right. You want to be right where God wants you to be. Do you want to be in the center of God's will this morning? I was talking with somebody last night, and we're talking about, man, I can live in my dream house, in my dream place, work at my dream job, but if I'm not in the center of God's will, that dream is a nightmare. This morning, do you want to be right where God wants you to be? I pray that that's a hearty amen for all of us. And if we do, this morning, I pray we will turn our eyes back to Jesus. The third question, and this is the one that gets me real pumped. Now, I don't know if y'all can tell, but I'm excited to be at Herman Baptist Church this morning. The third question is, do you want to experience God's power in your life? Amen? Amen. We want to see God work. We want to see miracles happen. We want to see sick people get well. We want to see people get saved, right? My prayer, we live in an area that is broken and miserable without a strong gospel presence. And our people so want to see God's power. We want to have children's handprints on our clean white walls. I don't know what your desire, how you want to see God work in your life this morning, but the key is keeping our eyes on Jesus. So let's walk through the text and let's see if we can kind of discuss these questions a little bit. Placing our eyes on Jesus. The first question is this. Do you want to be up close and personal with Jesus? In verses 27 through 29, we see that this is a true desire of Peter. Look with me. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid. He said, take courage, I'm here. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water. We see here that Peter desired to be with Jesus. In the storm of life, in this faith crisis, he knew that the safest place wasn't in the boat, but it was with Jesus, even if that was on the water. And so he turns his eyes to Jesus. I told you the point of this text isn't that there are storms, but there are. Life is not easy. Nowhere within this cover does it say that things get easy when we follow Jesus. Actually, when we look at the New Testament, that is quite the opposite. We see that people who strive to be faithful to the Lord Jesus do not encounter holly jolly rainbows and sunshine. We see that people live and die for the glory of God. The Christian life is a tumultuous one. There are storms in this life, just like in this text. But what Peter realized, though there is a storm, there is also a Savior. And that Savior has authority over the winds and the waves. This morning, if we want to be up close and personal in the good times and the bad, just as Trey was saying, the key is that our eyes be on the Savior and not the storm. Now, I would be willing to say that this morning you came in here and you didn't leave the storms at the door, just like I didn't. My life is not perfect. There are things that go on that do not make me happy. But within those things, in the realm of my reality, if I want to be who God saved me to be, if I want to be in right relationship with Him, walking and talking with Him, my mind needs to be on Him and not what's going on around me. Amen? Many of you can probably remember the time that you were saved. I mean, if you can remember that time, just raise your hand. Man, you got saved and you felt like, man, I'm up close and personal with Jesus. I am walking with Him on the waves. I am reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm talking to people at work about Jesus. I'm getting baptized. My life is on fire with Jesus. But maybe you came in this morning and your eyes have been so longly fixed on the storms of life that you've forgotten about that Savior. I tell you, religion without relationship is a cold, miserable life. Amen? So this morning, I don't know what's going on in your life, but I'm confident there is something in your life. I've heard many a preacher say, you're either in a pit, you're coming out of a pit, or you're going into a pit. Well, whatever stage we're in, let's remember our eyes be on Jesus and not the pit or the storm. Do you want to be up close and personal with Jesus? There are storms, but there is a Savior. This morning, would you place your eyes on Savior? And maybe your response to that this morning would be, Seth, you know, I've tried everything. I want to be close to Jesus. I want to experience what Peter experienced on the winds and the waves. I want this kind of relationship, but you don't know what I've done. I want to walk with Him. I want to talk with Him. And I've started a new devotion, Seth, but it's just not working. I don't feel that power. I don't feel that closeness. What do I do? I would encourage you this morning that the Bible does not teach that God opposes the proud and runs to the perfect. He draws near to the humble. And so this morning in this place, whatever your situation would be, would we realize, like Peter in this text, man, I need you, Jesus. Jesus, I need, that's what he longs to hear from us. Lord, I need you. There are storms, but I want you to be my Savior. I want to be close with you. One of the most beautiful pictures in all of Scripture is not the one of perfection. It's one of a prodigal. Do you remember the story in the Gospels about the prodigal son? It's like my story on paper. The son goes to the father and says, Father, I don't want to wait until you die. I want my money now. I want my inheritance now. He goes off and wastes it. And he realizes, man, I'm in deep trouble, and a servant in my house would be treated better than I am, eating with pigs. And so he turns his eyes back to the father and begins to go home. And the father doesn't receive the son with things, ways to make up, the ways to repair their relationship. No. He pulls up his tunic and runs and meets the son in the street. This morning, if you will turn your eyes to Jesus, he will run to you and meet you where you are this morning. And this morning, I didn't come with a text of 10 ways to get back close to God. There's one way. Lord, I need you. And I believe that's why Peter called out, Lord, if it's you, call and I will come. Peter had the attitude here, the presence of God is better than anything, including the safety of the boat. The second question this morning, do you want to be right where God wants you to be? Do you want to be right where God wants you to be? Where am I getting this question from? And I'm getting it from Jesus' response to Peter. Peter says, Jesus, if it's you, call me and I'll come. I'll meet you even on the winds and the waves. I trust you, Jesus. And we see what Jesus' plan for Peter was. He says, yes, come. Yes, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. Do you want to be right where God wants you to be this morning? If you do, we need to come to the realization that that is not in the boat. God's plan for you this morning is not for you to be so scared of the storm that you reside inside of the boat, but you be so aware of the storm that you would reside in his arms. And Jesus usually is not in the boat. God's desire for us this morning is to be outside of the boat. And because Peter's eyes were on Jesus, Peter could go where God wanted him. Because Peter's eyes were on Jesus and not the safety of the boat, because his heart was set on Jesus and not his comfort, and because Peter's eyes were on the wealth of Jesus' authority and not on the confines of safety, he could be in the center of God's will. Peter could go wherever God wanted him. He was caught up in Jesus, not caught up in the storm. This reminds me so much of the prophet Isaiah. One of my favorite texts in all the scriptures. I would encourage you this afternoon, if you have time, go and read Isaiah chapter 6. But the prophet Isaiah is in a vision. He's having a vision. He's in the throne room of God, in the throne room of God. And he sees God on the throne, and he sees the angels flying around singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Well, what did our hearts sing this morning? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And he sees this beautiful sight. He is captured with the awesomeness of God. He cries, I'm a man with unclean lips. I come from a people with unclean lips. And the angels say, whom shall we send? Who shall we go for us? Remember Isaiah's response? Here am I. Send me. Peter's actions here are the same. Church, when we are so caught up in the awesomeness of God, when we are so caught up in the authority and glory of Jesus, we say, Lord, here am I. Lord, anywhere with you is better than anywhere without you. Lord, I am so caught up in the brightness of your glory, I cannot see the doom of the day. Lord, I am so blind with you, I cannot see the obstacles in my way. This is the glory of Jesus. Church, this morning, would the church of Jesus Christ stand in the glory of God and say, God, anywhere, anytime, anything. So many times we pick and choose. Well, Lord, I don't really want to go here. Lord, I really don't want to do that. Lord, please don't call me there. And I'm guilty. Hear me. I've preached this sermon 6 times this week. Back and forth to a Greek class I don't want to take. Lord, would we be so caught up in your glory that we wouldn't say, no, not I, but here am I, send me. Can I be honest with you this morning? Can I be transparent with you? I am a puny man who is terrified. I am not scared of money. I know God owns cattle on 1,000 hills. It's not scare me. I'm not scared of an airplane. If it's my time, there's a time destined for every man to die. And no matter where I am, in the boat or in a plane, I cannot escape that. I'm not scared of 3 months in South Africa. Doesn't scare me. But what terrifies me is that he might call me to stay. I don't mean to preach this text like it's easy this morning. Because this is difficult. And the times that my eyes are set on a future full of South Africa, I'm a miserable human being. But when my eyes are on Jesus, I'm able to say, here am I. Lord, I'll go tomorrow. I'll die in South Africa preaching the gospel. I'll die in South Africa as a mechanic if my eyes are on Jesus. This morning, would we say, Lord, here am I, send me, no matter where that is. And you may say, Seth, that's awesome. Missions is cool, missions is big, and we're Herman Baptist Church, and we're a mission-minded church. We give to IMB. We give to NAM. And God bless you for that. But would you know this morning that God has strategically placed you somewhere in life? You say, Seth, I'm not called to preach. I'm not called to pastor. I'm not called to be a missionary. But would you know this morning, you are called. Jesus has said to you, come. And he is expecting you to step over the side of the boat and walk on the waters with him. So I don't know what that is. Maybe you're a teacher and he's calling you to witness to fellow teachers. I don't know what that is. Maybe you're a family who is struggling financially, but he is calling you to tithe. I don't know what that is for you. Maybe that's to shorten your morning and spend some time with him in the word. And you say, well, Lord, I don't have any time. Would you be caught up in him and not your time? Do you want to be wherever God wants you to be? If our eyes are on Jesus, we can go there. Why? Because he who has the power to say, come, also has the power to take us. Amen? I'm thankful for a godly wife, and she said it perfectly last night. He carries us. He carries us. I'm not going to South Africa because I'm godly. If it was like me, I would not go to South Africa. I'm going to South Africa because God is bigger than I am. This being caught up in the glory of God has a tendency in Scripture. We see it there in Isaiah 6, but we see it throughout Scripture. The being caught up in God gives us faith. When our eyes are on Jesus, we see with eyes of faith. And we see this all throughout Scripture. In Joshua 1:9, we hear, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. When our eyes are on the Lord our God who will be with us, we can go. Deuteronomy 31:6, we hear a similar phrase. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Would our eyes be on the God who gave us those things? When they are, everything else seems awfully small. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Why? Because when I'm praying, I ain't worrying. Psalm 56:3, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. Psalms also says, some men trust in horses, others in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Think about David standing before the Goliath. I don't know what time it is, and I'm not paying attention, so y'all pray for me. Think about David standing before Goliath. I'm so glad, aren't you, that his eyes weren't on Goliath, but his eyes were on his God. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So this morning I encourage you with this. Be so captured in the awesomeness of God that you would say, here am I. That you would say, Lord Jesus, if it's you, call me. Anywhere, Lord. Even outside of the boat. Number three this morning, and by far my favorite, is do you want to experience the power of God in your life? Do you want to experience God's power in your life this morning? Amen? You want to see God do something. There's a lady in our church, Cindy Jones, she often says, man, I just want to see God show up and show out. I do. And if we do, let's turn our eyes back to Jesus. Look with me, verses 29 through 31. At this powerful event. Again, Jesus said, yes, come. So when Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. We'll stop there for a moment. With me this morning, would you imagine Peter's rush this morning? Like, I know he had to be a little bit nervous. Like, I'm going to step over the side of the boat and I have no idea what's going to happen. Kind of like when I stepped into the pulpit this morning. God, I have no idea what you're going to do. He steps over the side of the boat wondering what's going to happen. And he looks around and I'm doing it. I am on the water. Think about this. We go to Myrtle Beach or Topsail Island and there are little waves, right? This isn't like California. But there are still people who try to act cool and boogie board and surf and stuff, right? Peter is surfing without a surfboard. Like, imagine his joy, imagine his rush that he would have never experienced inside of the boat. Oh my goodness, I'm doing this. I am walking on the water with Jesus. The joy, the rush, the excitement, goodness gracious, this is awesome. All because his eyes were on Jesus. Why could he experience that? Not because of his ferocious faith, but because his sufficient Savior. Do you want to experience that this morning? My greatest fear is I'm going to die one day and it's not going to matter. That I did nothing inside of my 23, 25, 65, 75, whatever it is. That time is going to pass and nothing was done for Christ. That it's just going to dissolve. Nothing's left. No glory given. Because I want to experience God's power in my life. I want to be able to look back in a room full of my grandchildren and think, man, God's good and God did this. God's been working. God's been faithful. We can experience this excitement and this rush. And maybe it's not walking on the water, but maybe it's seeing God provide when we didn't think there was a way for him to provide. Maybe it's seeing someone come off the cancer list. Maybe it's sharing the gospel with the same person over and over and over and over again, thinking, yeah, nothing's going to happen, but he still calls us to get out of the boat, do it again, and then one day they place their faith in Jesus. Keep our eyes on Jesus and we will experience God's power in our life. We can imagine Peter's rush, but we can also imagine Peter's panic. Verse 30. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Imagine the emotional roller coaster that Peter experiences. Oh, what a rush. Oh, the excitement. Oh, the power of God. And oh no, I'm sinking. Why? Because he turned his eyes again from the Savior to the storm. We are so easily distracted. I don't know about you, I have the attention span of a gnat. And in one moment, I will be caught up in the glory of God. God, I'll do anything for you. And then, oh no, the finances. Oh no, the health risk. Oh no, the rejection. Oh no, that I won't be able to go and do this on Friday night. That's Peter's panic. But some encouragement we can get from this is that God uses tiny people like Peter. He allows tiny people like us and Peter to experience his greatness. And he'll also be glorified by our weakness. Think about this. The panic of Peter. Oh no, Lord, save me, Lord, he shouts. And then Jesus immediately reaches out and grabs him. You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? The good news about this morning is the story doesn't end here. The story ends with the disciples in the boat saying, you must be the Son of God. You are different because we've seen you stand side by side with a weak little man and you are different. Even in this moment when Peter turns his eyes back to Jesus, Peter reignites that power, reignites that experience. And Jesus is glorified all the more. And then we see throughout the New Testament that Peter goes on to be the head of the church, preaching the gospel, experience God's power, seeing thousands of people saved, placing their faith in Jesus. Man, do you want to experience God's power? Will we place our eyes on Jesus? If we do, we can. Because Jesus has that authority. Amen? Don't fall asleep on me out there. So this morning, I don't know what you're getting your eyes on. I don't know what your distraction, your storm, your situation. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's health, maybe it's discomfort. But I would like to encourage you from the Scriptures. If it's money, he's the owner of cattle on a thousand hills. If it's speech, Moses was a mumbler and said, I couldn't speak. You don't know the answers? Well, the disciples in this boat were uneducated fishermen. And they're later called the people who turned the world upside down. Say, nobody will listen. God used the stubborn prophet Jonah to go to the stubborn people of Nineveh, and they repented. Why? Not because Jonah's preaching. Because God has that kind of power. Maybe you say, well, nobody will listen. That's Jonah. Let God use you. Be a tool. That was my prayer this morning. Lord, let it not be about passion or knowledge, because I am empty of all of that. Lord, would you please just do this work? Maybe you say it's past sin. Anybody else got some of that? What about current sin? I got some of that too. The Apostle Paul would say, man, I do the things I hate, and I hate the things I do. Current sin, past sin, Paul was a Christian killer, a Christian jailer. But God would make him into the greatest missionary who ever lived. Why? Not because of the goodness of Paul, but the greatness of God. So this morning, I just want to encourage you. As we shift into a time of reflection, response, invitation. If you're here today and the Holy Spirit's been working on your heart, saying, I want that for you, and you know you've never experienced this kind of faith, you've never experienced this kind of relationship, you've never experienced this kind of power, this morning I encourage you, for the first time in your life, would you submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and experience the gift of grace and love and forgiveness, and also the gift of his authority. If you hear nothing else that I say this morning, hear this. Jesus is worthy. Listen, if winds and waves bow their knees to Jesus, We should too. And so this morning, would you bow to the authority of Jesus and access the power of Jesus? I tell you, winds and waves are cool. That's a big deal. We all acknowledge that. If death, hell, and the grave bow their knees to a man, we should too. A lot of preachers can preach. A lot of missionaries can go. But we gather today because Jesus is alive, conquering not only winds and waves, but hell, death, and the grave. Your sin and my sin. Know this morning, He can conquer and overcome whatever it is in your life today. Forgiveness is in Christ Jesus. And He has the authority to say, forgiven, justified. This morning, access that in Christ Jesus. And maybe today, you are a believer. But like all of us, you may be in a moment where your eyes have shifted to the storm. Or you don't feel so close. Maybe your relationship with Christ has become more religious and less relationship. Maybe it's grown cold and stale. This morning, would you turn your eyes back to Jesus? And saying, Lord, wherever it is, I reimagine your glory. I want to re-experience your glory and experience that afresh today. Lord, I pray that you would be high and lifted up. And Lord, I pray that you make much of this mess of a sermon. Because Lord, all around the world this morning, preachers are preaching till they're blue in the face. But Lord, without you in it, there's nothing we can do. Without a movement, a move of the Holy Spirit, we are helpless. That's what Romans 5 says, that when we were utterly helpless. Lord, today without you, we are utterly helpless. So Lord, in our hunger, would we see again today that you are the bread of life? In the darkness, would we see that you are the light of the world? When we search for the next door in our life, would we remember that you are the door? When we think nobody cares, would we remember you are the good shepherd? When we look around us and see death and staleness and coldness, would we remember that you are the resurrection and the life? And Lord, I pray that today for me, and for everyone at the sound of my voice, that today we would experience your resurrection power. Lord, we love you. Be glorified in this place this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand and sing?